Well, hello, everybody. We want to welcome you once again to the podcast brought to you by Worship Leader Magazine. I'm Steve, this is my wife, Sean, and we're here with the one, the only, the amazing, Jamie Jam.
Thanks, guys. I'm so glad to be here. Beautiful piano, farm. I mean, this is the place to come have an interview, guys.
We are so thankful that you would grace us with your presence and come and impart your story. We've known each other for a little while, but wanted you to just kind of introduce yourself, talk a little bit about your story. How did you get from your humble beginnings in Boston, Massachusetts area to here in Nashville?
Boston. Oh, yeah. So what a journey, you know, God has all of us on so many different seasons, and I haven't been with Worship Leader Magazine for quite some time now, so this is exciting. I was playing, you know, jazz standards in the cruise lines on the bars when I was in college, and you know, funny Valentine, sing on a Valentine, it made me smile, and I got saved.
Wow,
in Boston.
In Boston.
Yeah, so there's hope for winners.
You were attending Berklee School
of
Music.
Yes, I was, and wow. I was studying jazz. I still appreciate jazz music so much. I've lost my chops because, as worship leaders, we know we write songs with like four chords.
None of them are seven. So
I've completely lost my chops. But during that time, when my heart just encountered the love of God, you know, has changed. And not that I'm against jazz music, pop music, other genres, but I just started singing about the heart change I had had. And very quickly, God kind of moved and changed my life. And I moved from Boston to Seattle. Was part of an incredible church up there. It used to be called the City Church with Judas Mann.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now, I believe it's called Church Home, I think, now. And was one of their youth worship leaders. And that's where I fell in love with seeing people connect with God through music. Not just a song, but His presence. And, man, are we living in days right now where we need more than songs, we need more than catchy lyrics and melodies. We need His presence. Yeah. Yes. And that just led, you know, to worship leader out there and signing a little record deal when I was way young, a long time ago. But then I hit some bumpy roads, like a lot of us do, right? And moved to Nashville, was singing, touring, and working at an incredible local church we know here, the Belonging Co. And something wasn't right physically. I could remember thinking, am I doing too much? Am I pouring out too much? Worship leaders, I know you get that. Ministers, pastors watching, you know, am I not filling up enough? And to be honest, I thought I was good at like getting my own time with the Lord and in the Word and, you know, eating well. And but man, I hit rock bottom about 2.5 years ago, where that push, you know how we can just push and go? I believe it was God's grace and His sovereignty that was like, enough is enough, my daughter. You know, you're not going to sustain if we don't address some things. And maybe you're there right now. You're watching and you are just like on autopilot. And it brought me to a point where I literally could not function. Come to find out, I had been bit by a tick years ago and had been managing Lyme's disease. And, you know, it's very common and popular, especially in southern states. Yeah. There's a lot of ticks, unfortunately. And had been managing it, going to holistic doctors, regular doctors.
But you didn't even know that you had it, right?
I had known for a few years. But what happened is my managing it and thinking I was doing all the right things was just kind of keeping everything at bay. And the way I understand it is it became a neurological Lyme disease infection. And once that bacteria hit my brain and my nervous system is when life did not look like what I knew life to be. And as a outgoing, praise before the breakthrough, worship is our weapon kind of girl, I could not function. I had to move home from Nashville to Boston at my age. That's a hard, humbling season.
Yeah.
And it was a very long journey. It was a dark place, and we can talk about that later if you'd like. But it led to victory. It led to healing. Yeah. I found a clinic in New York called the New York Center of Innovative Medicine, and they have some real advanced healing therapies and treatments for chronic Lyme, which is what happens when you've had it for that long. It becomes a chronic disease, and just the way I understand, kind of takes over your body. And so I'm just so grateful. 3 months there, and then a year of really getting stronger. I am now on the other side, walking in healing, walking in victory, but it's been a journey And there were moments where my praise and my worship, I wondered if that fire would ever come back again, if I'm being honest.
Wow.
Wow. Well, we're glad you're here.
We're glad you're on.
That's the short story.
Yeah.
Well, it's good. Well, I think, you know, the part of why we wanted to interview is just because I know a lot of worship leaders are struggling with that at some level. I mean, not everybody has been bitten by a tick,
right,
or even knows what a tick is, but
they're little
nasty boogers. Anyway, but we're all, I think, go through a season at some point where it's a little harder than we expected it. We haven't seen the results that we were hoping for, and we can still feel like, well, I have to perform because I, at a certain level because of my staff position or because of the expectations, or if I'm sick, that means that I failed somewhere or that maybe I'm unworthy or something. And so a lot of your new album has some songs that deal with that because you were writing through some of that process. But I wonder if you could just take us through, like, how did you get the faith each day, especially as things were potentially getting worse?
There were days that I feel like I didn't have a lot of faith, if we're being honest. And I know the Bible describes it as long as we have that mustard seed.
Yeah.
And I can remember there were days.
You're looking for it.
There were days I like. I would literally get a mustard seed and like put it on my hand and be like, I think I still have that, Lord, and I love Him with all my heart. But when you are in just that darkness, and it was prolonged, chronic illness really has a way of bringing you down, mentally, emotionally, even spiritually.
Yeah.
And for me personally, I couldn't read. My head hurt too much to like be reading, but I'd put audio books of the Bible on. I'd listen to worship music.
Yeah.
And it's funny, the songs that ministered to me during that time, like for some reason, black gospel music.
Come on.
Travis Green's
album.
Oh my gosh, there was one track he did with Stephanie Gretzinger.
Uh-huh.
You Were Loved, or I think that's what it's called. I would just put that on and weep and allow God's presence to just wash over. And I think that the permission I felt from the Lord was, you didn't do anything wrong. And I just want to stress that to men and women of God. Sickness isn't from our Heavenly Father.
That's
He's
right.
a good Father. He's not like, you're going to get sick. But isn't it beautiful that He will work it for our good somehow? And during that season, He worked what the enemy meant for evil, for good. And during that season, I believe, is where just the songs and that raw heart to know Jesus more and to worship Him and to worship Him in new ways. You know, I wasn't always physically able to get behind the piano, but I could put a song on and let it wash over, or I could just think of something lovely and true. You know, lovely. And I believe that is worship to our God, whether there's thousands of people out there and you're up there or you're in your bed sick, barely making it, saying, God, I still love you. God, I still trust you. Isn't that genuine, authentic worship, right? And I'd encourage people, though, not to believe those lies that you've done something wrong or you're not worthy enough. Or that's not the kingdom. That's not the gospel. Jesus makes us worthy. Jesus invites us into this glorious, abundant, fun, wild life with Him, you know? And I think that's when I want to live that even more on this side of the healing. Not the, am I doing everything right? Am I? There's so much pressure and stress that comes with that. And I think that pressure and stress is what makes some of us sick. Especially
probably.
If we're natural performers.
Yeah,
like worship leaders have that element of being in front of people, wanting to please people. And it's like, let's just take that hat off and come back to the basics of what God says.
Wow.
It's so good. So true.
So would you mind playing us a song, something that you felt like either
came
out of that season or helped you get through it?
Yeah. So this is called All Things for Good. And this is before the breakthrough, but I'll sing a snippet of this one.
Yeah.
For what you start. himself to Claire. He's working it for good, even when he can barely get out of bed and just want to eat a hamburger again, yeah. You know?
You yes, can't see it. Yep. Yeah. And you're just like, all right.
Yeah. Wow.
I think that kind of declaration helps people get through the valley, because some people want to camp.
Yeah.
And hang out in their valley, yeah. But he's leading us through the valley of the shadow.
Oh, I love that. I could not wait to get on the other side.
Oof. Keep them on walking.
Yes.
Don't
yes.
stop.
Yes, and don't get stuck there. And don't, yeah. It's a part of my story, but when you're in it, you know, not making it be bigger than who Jesus is in you. Mm. You know, Lyme disease was affecting me, but it's not who I am, who I was. You know?
Yeah.
And your identity in yeah. that. It really does matter.
Yeah.
So, and one of your songs, you're talking about just taking another step.
Mm.
And I've been listening through your album a little bit, and I was like, oh, man, what a great place just to be like, I don't know what's going on, but he's a light into my path, and I can see at least the next step, and so I'm going to take the next step.
Yeah.
And so can you talk a bit about how you wrote that, who you wrote it with? Or?
I wrote that one with Michael Farron. Do you guys know him?
Yeah.
Worship leader here
yeah.
in town, incredible songwriter. Hi, Michael, if you're watching. That was written during a season of God navigating some career shifts and some real faith seasons. And it felt like the great unknown was the only way I could describe it. And it was right before I got sick. And I think sometimes we write things that we don't know maybe we're going to need.
Oh, man, all the time.
Yeah, and normally I'm drawn to more like simple worship choruses and songs that people can sing along to in our church services and whatnot. But this one was just more of a worship cry of my heart.
It's almost like a psalm.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, for sure.
I wish I could say that I was brave when all around me trouble starts to rise. I wish I could say that I was strong, but to you my weakness comes as no surprise. So here I go, take another breath. Here
great
song.
Getting
choked up today. Like, my voice is cracking. Sorry.
So good.
Thank you.
Wow.
Well, I know with all these songs, and you mentioned it before, you were like corporate worship, simple songs, and then yet we find these really powerful declarations of faith that maybe don't fit in a corporate setting because not everybody is sick, not everybody's feeling that. Some people have the best week of their lives.
Totally. Go you.
So while we are a little bit jealous, we, you know, like you can't necessarily sing those songs as much and expect everybody to participate, but there is a place maybe in service or outside of service where if you're not personally dealing with that, you know there is somebody in your congregation. Yes. How have you walked that road now that you're out ministering and sharing these things? And
I love that. You know, I minister to a lot of women. I have a real passion for women in worship as well. Go women worship leaders. Such a place and need for that. And we write songs in keys that we can actually sing in. But I think that realizing that just as many people walk into our weekly services ready to just go there and worship, there's just as many people that had an awful week and an awful day and are navigating big things nobody would know about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And maybe in this new season of worship and what church is going to look like after COVID, and maybe we create space for some of those personal, reflective moments where not everybody has to be standing, arms raised. I mean, what if the worship moment for that person in the last row that barely got to church that day is having someone on their guitar or on the keys with it stripped down, although I love the lights and all the production, but what if that's that moment for that person that can hear, wow, that singer, that worship leader, they're dealing with things too, and they connect in a more personal way than a song that we think we have to all stand. And I think I'm just growing in that, having walked through that dark year and a half of, to me, some days worship was getting out for a 5-minute walk, looking at God's beauty with a pounding headache, saying, Jesus, you're amazing. And that was it. Or crying, God, are you still with me?
Yeah.
And I think those moments are just as powerful as
big moments.
Do you? It's true. Do you feel that?
Sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
I think for a lot of churches there, especially with the changes, I mean, the rules are all broken. You can pretty much do whatever you want.
Whatever.
And I think God did that. He has shaken up the church for a reason. So as worship leaders, let's not just keep trying to press on and do what we always did. Like, let's find the new thing. Let's find the new sound. Find the new way to reach people that haven't had a job for 6 months, that are losing their homes, that, you know, I just heard of a friend during COVID whose mom now has terminal cancer. And it's like, how do we reach those congregants as well? And of course, we don't want like a sad service.
Yeah, but you got to take them where they are and pull them up and pull them into faith and pull them forward and hearing testimonies of people that have made it through, especially leaders, prominent people. I mean, that speaks a lot. I think, you know, I know for you, probably there's people that you've looked to leader-wise that have helped. Is there anybody in particular that...
Yeah, even like Rebecca Lyons. I know we're going to do an event together soon. And when I heard that Rebecca battled anxiety, she talks about this very publicly. When I was going through the worst part of Lyme disease, I had never known what physical manifestations of anxiety feels like, where you don't want to leave your home. It's the worst feeling ever. And to hear that someone I looked up to as a speaker, author, just incredible woman of God she is, a mom, you know, all that, wife.
Yeah.
To hear her be so transparent and real about her struggles with that and how she's been overcoming, it just frees people up to know, okay, like, there's nothing wrong with me.
I'm normal.
Yes. And we don't talk about these things and we don't, you know, like, I sometimes want to be like, Jesus would just run to you with his arms open wide and be like, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
But we put all these parameters on things. And maybe with what I've walked through, it's changed my heart a little bit. But I just want to see people live a free, full life in Christ.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Well, will you play us one more of your songs?
Yes!
I would have lost heart had I not believed. I would have lost heart had I not.
Well, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me. This has been awesome.